When William McKinley was president of the United States, he had to make an appointment to a particular for an ambassador to a particular foreign country. And there were two candidates who were equally qualified, and from the outside it seemed like it would be a tough decision to make. But it was not for McKinley. See, when he was still a congressman, he observed an unkind action by one of the two men. And he recalled boarding a streetcar years before he had to make this decision, and he got on the last vacant seat. And soon an elderly woman with a big basket of laundry got on right at the door of the car, and nobody stood up to give her their seat. And one man in particular put his newspaper above his face to act like he didn't see her get on. And so at the next stop, McKinley got up, walked up to her, took her basket from her, and held it for her, and then gave her his seat. The man who had the newspaper was unaware that anybody noticed what he did, but that one little act of unkindness and selfishness would later deprive him of perhaps the greatest honor of his political career. See, being unkind can be costly, but the opposite is also true. That being kind can be rewarding. Sometimes being kind can bring exponential blessings. I knew of a man in Denton. He told me that whenever he was interviewing somebody to hire them to work for him, he would often crumple up a piece of paper and toss it by the door where the interviewee would have to walk right over it to get to the chair to be interviewed. Some people would pick it up and throw it in the trash. Others would not. And if all things were equal, he would hire the person who picked up the trash. I thought that was genius. But last week, we saw how Naomi's darkness became enlightened by the kindness of Ruth the Moabite. And her expression of loving kindness was a blessing to Naomi, even though she did not recognize it or appreciate it. See, Ruth now is going to be shown loving kindness in chapter 2. The one who blesses is being blessed. See, God has a way of enabling risk takers to bless those in need, such is the case here. This in chapter 2 is a story of providential provision. Last week there was famine and loss, death, despair, with a ray of hope shining through with the loving kindness of Ruth. Her actions were risky, and they demanded courage. Today in chapter 2, there is harvest. There is abundance. There is now hope. See, God often accomplishes his redemptive work through faithful people that he provides for along the way. Ruth is proving to be faithful, and God is going to guide her to the provision and protection that she needs. These are the two main things that Ruth and Naomi both need. And God meets their need in a way that can only be attributed to him. See, Naomi left full, she said. She came back empty. And now God begins to provide in ways that she now recognizes and appreciates. So we're going to read the text of Ruth 2 as we move through it. But we see in the first verse, this little aside, it says, "Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." This little introductory comment gives us more information as the reader, as we are now introduced to a character who is coming onto the scene. And he will play a major role through the rest of the story. Elimelech's relative, Boaz. He is a relative, but he is much more than just that, as we will see. And so now that he's introduced, now we know who he is, the story begins in 2 to 7. This is scene 1 of chapter 2. Look at Ruth 2, verses 2 to 7. It says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. And she has been sitting in the house for a little while. Now, a little background information is helpful regarding the harvest of barley and wheat. That can be a foreign concept to many of us today. There are lots of people involved, different groups of people involved in the harvest, as we see just from the characters of chapter 2. This was a very labor-intensive process to harvest grain. This is, of course, well before the invention of the tractor or combine. My cousin manages about 18,000 acres of farmland scattered from northeast Texas to southwest Arkansas along the Red River, and they're currently harvesting corn right now. And so the machine he's driving is state-of-the-art. He said he pulled the plastic off the seats when he got in it. It has two seats in the cab, actually. There's a refrigerator, of course, air conditioning, XM satellite radio, and it pretty much drives itself with a GPS system that's programmed. And his bosses can tell from their iPad in South Dakota if the tractor ever stops. I'm sure Boaz would have loved to have something like that, but he didn't. But for Boaz, the harvest would begin with reapers who would cut down the stalks of grass with a curved blade called a sickle. It's like a weed eater where your arm is the motor. And in this particular field, it seems that Boaz has the men doing the reaping or the cutting, and then a group of women follow behind to gather the stalks into bundles called sheaves. And so several sheaves would be bundled up together, stacked together in the field, so they could come back and pick them up easily. And they'll have them processed, and we'll see more about that next week in chapter 3. But see, harvest time and farming is what you've been looking forward to all year long. It is your one payday for the entire year. Needless to say, it brings a level of stress. It is high energy, all hands on deck, so that you can gather the crop before it rains and ruins everything, or at least delays your progress. And so walking up into somebody's field to pick up scraps could be a dangerous thing for Ruth to do. She would be completely at the mercy of the landowner or the foreman in charge. Here again, we see her taking risks out of her love for Naomi. Now remember, she is out of her element. She's not an Israelite. We are reminded again three times that she is a Moabitess from the land of Moab. However, Mosaic law did allow for even a stranger to gather among the corners of a field and pick up scraps of grain during a harvest. See, God had the principle of showing kindness to strangers and aliens written into the law of his people. So technically, she was allowed to gather grain, but she does not presume to be able to do so. If she is aware of this provision under the law, she does not walk up and take advantage of it. Two different times, we are told that she humbly asked for permission. Once from her mother-in-law, who we last saw did not seem appreciative of the love shown to her by Ruth. And now Ruth is taking action as the provider of their small household. See, she is present with the herding, and now she is providing for the herding by going out to pick up scraps of grain in a field. We also see that she asked for permission from the servant in charge of the reapers in verse 7 before she began to glean. And we're told just before in the text that she just happened to come to the field belonging to Boaz. Wink, wink. See, she is being faithful to her promise to her mother-in-law and showing her loving kindness. She is humble, and God is being faithful to guide her right where she needs to be. See, the kind is being shown kindness. The one who blesses is being blessed. Now, she stands out to us because of her actions. Evidently, she stands out in the field. And so Boaz takes notice in verse 8, and we begin this dialogue between Ruth and Boaz. Look at verses 8 to 13. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go out and glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be upon the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, although I am not like one of your maidservants." See, Naomi's kinsman, Boaz, begins by protecting Ruth. He knows as well as anybody that fields can be a dangerous place to be during the harvest time, especially for a woman. Not everyone is as kind as Boaz. And in his kindness, God guided Ruth, and now Boaz shows her kindness. Notice how Boaz seems to be bringing her into the fold, and even associates her with his God. "Stay here with my maids. Drink our water. And then may Yahweh reward your work. May your wages be full from Yahweh." Who is that? The God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. See, for the first time, this woman who risked so much to cling to her mother-in-law out of loving kindness is being shown kindness from another human being. See, Boaz is protecting her by not allowing his servants to touch her. And he is providing for her by giving her ideal and even abnormal opportunities to glean grain. Notice how the tables are beginning to turn by association for Naomi, who left Bethlehem in a famine years ago. And they're also turning for Ruth, who risked everything she had for the sake of another. See, Boaz prayed for the Lord to reward her work. Ironically, he is the instrument of God's provision and loving kindness to Ruth. Ruth can't seem to stop being humble, and Boaz cannot seem to stop being kind. Notice she's blown away and starts tripping over her words in verse 13. She calls herself one of his maidservants. And then she catches herself right at the end and says, "Though I'm not like one of your maidservants." She realizes this may sound presumptuous of her, and everything she does seems to be out of humility. This will become all the more ironic after what we see in the story next week in chapter 3. But look at how these acts of kindness just keep on coming, these acts of favor from Boaz. Look at 14 to 16. "And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain. And she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" See, the provision and protection keep on coming. She gets to share a meal with his workers. She is now no ordinary gleaner out in the fields. She's beginning to seem less and less like a Moabite and more like an Israelite because of the way he treats her. She was served food by Boaz himself. She had an abundance, had leftovers, and was satisfied. And after she goes back to work, she gets to glean among the sheaves. This precious grain that the reapers cut and the gatherers have gathered, having worked hard for, is available to her. She can walk up and pull out whatever she wants. Even more shocking, those that have gathered it and bundled it up are told to pull it out for her and leave it on the ground so that she can glean it. This is amazing that in every possible way he can provide for Ruth, Boaz is doing so. He is lavish in his provision for her, and he is still protecting her. Look at how he's protecting her from verbal abuse. He protected her physically earlier, don't go to another field. Now he says, do not insult her to his own people. And then the last thing, do not rebuke her. See, all that Ruth and Naomi need is being provided by Boaz. Now keep in mind, Ruth has no idea at this point who he is, that he would show so much favor to her. All he told her was that he heard of her self-sacrificing actions and how she left everything to serve Naomi. We know who he is as the reader. Ruth does not, but Naomi does. Look at 17 through the end. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his loving kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest." Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out and work with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. So here we have scene 2 of chapter 2. And Ruth is back home. And Naomi realizes right off the bat that something good has happened. Someone has shown favor to Ruth, and therefore her as well. The reason she would know this is because an ephah of barley is about 30 pounds of grain. Imagine her walking back into the house with a 30-pound bag of grain. And she brought her leftovers from lunch. See, an ancient Israelite, ancient reader of this story would be blown away by this amount. An ephah doesn't mean much to us, but this is well above what the average gleaner would glean picking up scraps in a field. It's estimated that if Ruth was allowed to gather this amount each day through the barley and wheat harvest, she and Naomi would have their food supply taken care of for an entire year. That's amazing. And see, look how Naomi is so caught up in somebody else's generosity that she blesses the person before she allows Ruth to answer the question of who it was. You can almost see her eyes lighting up as she says these things as Ruth walks back in the door. See, the one who wanted to be called Mara, bitter, now has a reason to bless another. See, she too has been shown kindness that is now recognizable to her. And when she finds out it was Boaz, she blesses him again. See, she knows Boaz knew what he was doing. See, Boaz knows that he is a close relative and was therefore acting accordingly. And so in response, Naomi blesses him for his kindness toward her husband and sons, who she calls the dead, and also to Ruth and herself, who she calls the living. See, Naomi has been shown kindness yet again. Ruth showed her loving kindness in chapter 1, and now Boaz is doing the same in chapter 2. Ruth and Boaz seem to be well suited for one another. So Ruth responds with excitement that she's able to go and harvest through the rest of the season, through the barley and wheat harvest in the field of Boaz. See, God is providing for them both. In this exchange, Naomi calls Boaz one of her family's closest relatives. More technically, the term is redeemers. Traditionally, this person is called a kinsman redeemer. Now, this person would be able to take care of the affairs of the deceased in a very broad sense. It's like someone's executor of their estate, but with much more power than we think of that today. For example, in Leviticus 25, a redeemer could recover property that a family had previously sold. It could buy back family members who were sold as slaves in order to pay off a debt. In Numbers 35, a redeemer could actually avenge the death of a murdered family member. But in Ruth, in this book, Boaz functions more broadly as one who in several senses delivers his extended family from different forms of oppression and suffering. But because of her Redeemer's kindness, Naomi is beginning to see herself as a recipient of blessing rather than a victim as God's adversary. See, she is being softened by two people who have shown her loving kindness. Last week we connected and saw how Ruth was a picture of Christ in taking on an identity that was not her own in order to serve someone she loved. She exhibited loving kindness through the sacrifice she made to Naomi. Here, Boaz is a picture of Christ in that he is lavish in his goodness and his kindness and his provision and protection. He goes over the top to bless Ruth and therefore Naomi. Think about the New Testament perspective of the kindness shown to us through Jesus. Ephesians 1:3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Titus 3:4-6 gives us the means of receiving these spiritual blessings. Listen to what our Redeemer did for us. It says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, like Boaz, our Redeemer is kind. He is kind to us, and he is also kind through us. See, we are recipients of his kindness, and we are agents of the same. It may be risky to help the hurting, but it blesses them in ways that we could never imagine. We're often blessed in the process. We see this is what is happening with Ruth in chapter 2. She was blessed in the process of being a blessing. She's just busy minding her own business, being faithful to her mother-in-law who needed her, and she received kindness upon kindness. See, she put herself in harm's way in order to take care of the one she loved. And God accomplished his redemptive work in the life of Naomi through his faithful human instrument, Ruth. God guided Ruth to the field of the Redeemer, who lavished blessings and kindness upon her and allowed her to be a blessing to Naomi. He will do the same for us in multiplying our meager means to bless those around us. Spending 5 minutes with someone who's hurting or sick may feel like hours to them and make their day. Helping someone financially may not be a big deal to you. Your budget may not even feel it, but it could perhaps make the budget of another. See, serving and showing loving kindness is often more of a blessing to the one extending it than it is to the one receiving it. Picking up trash on the floor could land you a job, like with my friend in Denton. But the key to all of this is our motivation. See, our motivation to love others is not the blessing we may get in return, but rather it is because of the kindness and love shown to us in the one who has been good and kind and gracious to us. See, our God is in the restoration and redemption business, and he uses his faithful people as his agents. So the question before us is, how will we faithfully and sacrificially love those around us? See, showing loving kindness to others is a blessing to all, and it is a small but very bright picture of the loving kindness shown to us through the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are the redeeming and restoring God. And God, in your grace, you use us to be your agents of your kindness and provision and protection. God, we are humbled by the fact how you meet our every need. And God, I pray that you would help us to see the needs of others around us. I pray that we would meet them through your provision. And God, we are thankful for you providing everything we need in your Son, our Lord Jesus. And it is in his name that I pray. Amen.